Richard Schwartz, author of Judaism and Vegetarianism, Judaism and Global Survival, and Mathematics and Global Survival. And I'm president of Jewish Vegetarians of North America and a Society of Ethical and Religious Vegetarians. My topic is Jewish teachings on the proper treatment of animals. Although it's not well known, Judaism has very powerful teachings about proper treatment of animals. If Jews took these teachings seriously, they would be among the strongest protesters of current practices related to animals. According to Judaism, animals are part of God's creation and people have special responsibilities to them. The Jewish tradition clearly indicates that we're forbidden to be cruel to animals and we are to treat them with compassion. These concepts are summarized in the beautiful Hebrew phrase, Tzar Bali Chaim, the Torah mandate not to cause pain to any living creature. Psalms 104 and 148 show God's close identification with the animals of the field, creatures of the sea, and birds of the air. Sea animals and birds receive the same blessing as people, be fruitful and multiply, Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. Animals were initially given a vegetarian diet similar to that of people, Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. The important Hebrew term, nefesh chaya, a living soul, was applied several times in Genesis to animals as well as people. Although the Torah clearly indicates that people are to have, quote, dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that creeps upon the earth in Genesis 1:28, there was to be a basic relatedness, and the rights and privileges of animals were not to be neglected or overlooked. Animals are also God's creatures, possessing sensitivity and the capacity for feeling pain. Hence, they must be protected and treated with compassion and justice. God even made treaties and covenants with animals, just as with human beings. After the flood, in Genesis chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, it indicates, "As for me, says the Lord, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the fowl, the cattle, and every animal of the earth." And the prophet Hosea, in chapter 2, verse 20, indicates, "And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the animals of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the land, and I will make them to lie down safely." The Psalms indicate God's concern for animals, for his tender mercies are over all his creatures, in Psalms 145, verse 9. They pictured God as satisfying the desire of every living creature in Psalms 145, 16, providing food for animals and birds in Psalms 147, 9, and in general preserving both man and animals in Psalms 36, verse 7. Perhaps the Jewish attitude toward animals is best summarized by the statement in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10, "The righteous individual considers the life of his or her animal." This is the human counterpart of "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his creatures," in Psalms 145, verse 9. In Judaism, one who is cruel to animals cannot be regarded as a righteous person. There are many Torah laws involving compassion to animals. An ox is not to be muzzled while threshing in a field of corn, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. A farmer should not plow with an ox and an ass together, or any strong and weaker animal, so that the weaker animal would not suffer pain in trying to keep up with the stronger one. That's Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. Animals as well as people are to be allowed to rest on the Sabbath day, according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. The importance of this verse is indicated by its inclusion as part of the Ten Commandments and its recitation as part of Kiddush on Sabbath mornings. Based on the question of the angel of God to Balaam, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times?" in Numbers chapter 22, verse 32, the Talmud states that animals are to be treated humanely. Based on Deuteronomy 11, 15, "And I will give grass in thy fields for thy cattle, and thou shalt eat and be satisfied," the Talmud teaches that a person should not eat before first providing food for his or her animals. Many great Jewish heroes were chosen because they showed kindness to animals. Moses and King David, two of the greatest Jewish leaders, were considered worthy to be leaders because they showed compassion to animals while working as shepherds. That's from a midrash or rabbinic teaching in Exodus Rabbah, chapter 2, verse 2. Rebekah was judged suitable to be Isaac's wife, and thereby continued the Jewish people because of her kindness in watering the 10 thirsty camels of Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, the first Jew. In view of all this, one might wonder why Judaism doesn't advocate vegetarianism. Actually, the first dietary regimen in the Torah is strictly vegetarian, and actually vegan. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb yielding seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food." That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. Later, permission to eat meat was given as a concession to people's weakness, but with many restrictions, the so-called laws of kashrut, or the kosher laws. Rabbi Abraham Isaac HaKohen Cook, one of the greatest Jewish philosophers of the 20th century and the first chief rabbi of pre-state Israel, believed that these many dietary laws, these constraints, imply a reprimand or scolding, and are designed to keep alive a sense of reverence for life so that people would eventually return to the vegetarian diets as in the Garden of Eden. Rabbi Cook believed that a future messianic period will also be vegetarian, and he based this on the powerful prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 11, verses 6 to 9, that the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the lion will eat straw with the ox, and no one shall hurt nor destroy in all of God's holy mountain. That's the motto of the International Vegetarian Society, that no one shall hurt nor destroy in all of God's holy mountain. And that International Jewish Vegetarian Society has been centered in London since 1965. I argue in my book, Judaism and Vegetarianism, and in many articles and talks, that the production and consumption of meat and other animal products are inconsistent with basic Jewish mandates to preserve human health, to treat animals with compassion, to be partners with God in preserving the environment, to conserve natural resources, to help hungry people, and to seek and pursue peace. The reality is today, where animals are raised under very cruel conditions on factory farms, are very far from these Jewish teachings on compassion to animals. Some examples of the mistreatment of animals are that 250 million chicks are killed almost immediately after birth at egg-laying hatcheries in the United States alone. These are male chicks who can't lay eggs and haven't been genetically programmed to produce much meat, as the so-called broilers have. The females, the hens, are kept in very small spaces, in cages so small they can't raise even one wing. Because of the unnatural conditions in which all their natural instincts are thwarted, the hens peck at each other and often cause much harm to other hens. Rather than provide more space, operators debeak the hens, a very painful process without using anesthetic. Dairy cows are artificially impregnated every single year so that they will constantly be able to give milk, and then their babies are taken away almost immediately so that the mother's milk can be sold. The male calves are often raised for veal in very small spaces, so small that the calves can't even turn around when they get bigger. These are just a few examples of the horrible conditions of animals on factory farms, and the conditions very, very contrary to Jewish teachings. What about animal sacrifices, which are discussed in the Torah? According to the great Jewish philosopher and scholar Maimonides, these were a concession to the primitive conditions in biblical times. Since sacrifices were the universal expression of religion in that period, if Moses had tried to eliminate them, his mission would probably have failed and Judaism would have disappeared. However, animal sacrifices were confined to one central location, and the then common human sacrifices and idolatrous practices of the neighboring peoples were eliminated. The prophet spoke of sacrifices as an abomination to God if not carried out along with deeds of loving kindness and justice. And they pointed out that mercy and justice were more important to God than sacrifices. After the destruction of the temple, the rabbi stated that sacrifices should be replaced by prayer and good deeds. Rabbi Cook felt there will be only non-animal sacrifices in a messianic period when the temple is rebuilt. In summary, there's much in Judaism that mandates that animals be treated kindly. It's essential that this message become widely known and practiced in order to end the horrendous condition under which so many animals currently exist. For more information on this and related issues, please visit the Jewish Vegetarians of North America website. That's www.jewishveg.com. That's www.jewish followed by V-E-G, one word, .com. And also, please see my over 130 articles related to these issues at www.jewishveg.com and then a slash followed by my last name, S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z. And also, please see our new documentary, A Sacred Duty, Applying Jewish Values to Help Heal the World, at asacredduty, all one word, .com. Thank you.